All right, good evening. We are having our Wednesday evening Bible study. We continue our study of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. We are in chapter 16, the chapter about all of the bowl judgments. So today, as I did the last time we were together, rather than just read the whole thing, I'm just going to go through it verse by verse. It's a fairly long chapter, and we'll just try to discuss it. And if there are questions, we'll talk about those. So I'm going to go back. I ended chapter 15 with the first verse in chapter 16 because it really seemed like it went along with it. But we'll back up and start with verse 1 of chapter 16. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And so everybody who acquiesced to the beast, everyone who worshipped him, everyone who finally took the mark of the beast, because the first thing is he commanded them to worship him. Now, if some people said, "I'm not doing it," and they resisted, well, then later on, they wouldn't be able to buy or sell. And so some of them, out of desperation, still went ahead and took the mark of the beast, which was the same as worshiping him, really. It was giving in to him. And so a lot of people did that. So only these people that did that, only these are the ones that got the boils. Not everybody, just the ones that had the mark of the beast and those that worshiped him. Okay. So that's the first bowl, sores. Let's see what I have on that. Let's see. It says the Egyptians faced a similar affliction during the sixth plague of the Exodus. And we won't go back and look at that, but all these plagues are in chapters, I think, 9 and 10 of Exodus. But it was similar to the sixth plague there. When Moses had the 10 plagues. Okay, the second bowl. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Now that is just hard to wrap your mind around. We are to assume here that this is all the salt water, all the seas of the world, all the creatures in the sea, all the fish died. Now, this is a disaster that without miraculous intervention by God later on that would do the earth in. I mean, you've got, can you imagine how many creatures would be floating, the amount of blood that would be in the sea. No one could travel on the sea. All right, now the third bowl in verse 4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Now, here we go. So now, not just the salt water, but the fresh water. And then look what it says here in verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters. Now that's interesting. I didn't know there was an angel of the waters. Apparently there are angels in charge of different things. Well, this was the angel in charge of the waters. And he's saying, it's okay, basically. He's saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Now, if you remember back, way back in chapter 6, the fifth seal that was opened, we had the martyrs, and they were, when they were martyred, they were at the throne of God, and they were saying, "How long, O Lord, will it be till you avenge, you know, basically our deaths?" And he says, you be patient. When the next wave of martyrs comes through, you know, after that, then I will do that. This is part of it right here, the avenging. When it talks about they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, it's talking about the martyrs. It's also talking about down through church history, the killing of Christians, which is going on today, and then the killing of the prophets, so many of them. It talks about all that. So this is getting revenge on all those things that happened. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Before I talk about that, let's just back up. My notes talks about the third bowl. It says this is like the third trumpet. The third trumpet also targeted the rivers and springs of water. But of course it wasn't to, it was just a third, and it just made them bitter. It didn't turn them to blood. And then the second bowl was like the second trumpet, and that was the one that afflicted the sea, only it was one third of the sea. So this is like, the bowls are like the trumpets on steroids. It is just magnified. Okay, so let's see. We're talking about them being scorched with great heat, and then it says they did not repent and give him glory. This tells you something about the attitude of the people. You know, Dennis was saying, you know, they're probably not going to be able to repent because, you know, they took the mark of the beast, and they're not going to repent. These people are not going to repent no matter what. They couldn't anyway, even if they wanted to, it was too late. But here they are, you know, suffocating from this heat. And instead of them thinking, oh, what have I done to deserve this? They just blaspheme God because of his righteous judgment upon them. They did not repent. They did not give him glory. That was the attitude of the people at that time. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. Now, the throne of the beast would be wherever he had his king, you know, his empire, his castle, or whatever you want to call it, which probably was in Jerusalem. You know, he set up that image in the temple, and so he wanted to be like God. So he's probably on a throne in Jerusalem at that time. But then it says his kingdom. So technically, at this point, his kingdom would be the whole earth, because the whole earth is worshiping him, except for a few. It says they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Now, I think it's interesting because darkness, when you think of darkness, you don't necessarily just think of pain. You know, it's just dark. So they're saying that, you know, they had the sores from the first bowl, and all these things are coming in rapid succession. So they've got these sores, they've got these different things going on, and now they've got total darkness. And if you've ever been really, really sick, usually you feel the worst in the evening. You start feeling a little better during the day, and the evening comes, you start feeling sick again. And then usually in the middle of the night, it's when it's really bad, and you just think, oh, if I could just make it till morning. And then I've heard a lot of doctors and nurses say that a lot of people die about between 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. People that are very, very sick, maybe on their deathbed or whatever, many of them will die about that time. And they think, well, if they could just make it till the sun comes up, they'll be able to go maybe another day or so. So there's something about being sick and it being dark at the same time. It's like hopeless. You know, it's like they have no hope. So the darkness just made everything worse. And I'm going to assume this was darkness like in a cave, dark, where you can't see your hand in front of your face. Then it says of the sixth bowl, Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Now, this is an interesting. This is where we need to think critically. This is where we need to ask questions, because someone might say, well, how long did this darkness last? Well, we don't know how long it lasted, but apparently there's no way the kings from the east would be able to travel if it was pitch black dark like that. I mean, they might be able to use some kind of military equipment, but it would still be extremely difficult to conduct any kind of a battle or a war in pitch blackness. You know, so apparently the darkness wasn't something that lasted clear up through to the end of the tribulation. And then he says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now that doesn't mean nine and three out of each. It means one out of each. These three, it says spirits like frogs. And frogs stood for, there were symbols of uncleanness, filthiness. And so these unclean spirits looking or like frogs were coming out of the mouth. Now, when it says the dragon and the beast and the mouth of the false prophet, you have to understand that the dragon had possessed the beast. And then you had the false prophet. So there's basically two beings here, the false prophet and the beast. But the dragon is within the beast. But in this symbol that John is seeing, he's seeing the dragon by himself. He's seeing the dragon as a different entity here. But the dragon, when he was kicked out of heaven at midway through the tribulation, he went into and possessed the beast at this point in time. And many people think that's when the beast was resurrected. Okay? So this is what we call the unholy trinity. The dragon, the beast, which is the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The beast is the Antichrist. Okay. For they are the spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, God is in control here, but they don't know that. And these spirits, these demons, are deceiving all the militaries of all these different countries and bringing them to one place with probably the intention of finally annihilating Israel. And so they're all coming together for that. But then again, God's in charge. Just like when we read in Ezekiel about Russia, remember the war with Russia and the Muslim countries coming to Israel? God says, I put hooks in her jaws and I pulled them this way. So God's in charge. He's seeing everything through. And then it says, behold, I am coming as a thief. Now, this is one of those things that's interesting, because a lot of people, when they think of Jesus coming as a thief in the night, you think of the rapture of the church, but it's really not the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church, Jesus comes in the air and we come to see him, but He's always warning these people that are left behind, you know, be ready, watch for when I come. He says, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. Those garments, that would be your clothes of righteousness, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. He's constantly telling these people, you need to maintain your righteousness. You need to maintain your faith. You need to keep watch. We don't need to do that today as Christians. We're saved by grace, okay? But they did. It says, and they gathered them together, all these soldiers, all these armies, to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon, also called the Mount of Megiddo. And there's a huge valley there, like 120 miles long. And we learned in a previous chapter where the blood was going to be so thick and so high, about 4 feet up to the horse's bridles, all that distance. Either 4 feet or 6 feet. I think it was 4 feet. So finally, we get to the seventh bowl. Like I said, all these bowls are poured out in one chapter. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Remember what Jesus said on the cross? It is finished. And there are several things that happened here. There was thunderings and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as has not occurred since men were on the earth. Now, the great city was divided into three parts. Now, that's where there's a disagreement. J. Vernon McGee says the great city is Jerusalem. This particular study Bible and others say the great city is Babylon. I'm not sure which is correct. But there are other places in Revelation that talks about the great city. When it does, it talks about Babylon. So if I had to say something, I'd probably say the great city is called is Babylon. And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon, see there it says great Babylon, and up here it just said great city, so it probably is Babylon. Great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. We see that the cup of the wine used a lot of times as a metaphor for the wrath of God or for troubles. And remember when Jesus, I think he asked Peter, he said, "Are you really willing to drink from my cup? You know, are you ready to do that?" So here it's the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And so they're getting their just desserts right here. And then every island fled away and the mountains were not found. So this is basically a leveling off of the earth. The earth is getting a facelift. And look at this. Great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Now, depending on who or what civilization you looked at, defined a talent anywhere from 75 pounds to 120 pounds. If you can just imagine a hailstone, well, 75 is enough, you know. What that would do. That would definitely put a dent in your car.
Five would be enough, wouldn't
Yeah, it really would. I mean, that's
it?
just unbelievable. And it says, men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Yeah. And again, what do we see? The men simply blasphemed God. Now, if you go back to chapter six, let's go back to chapter six. Chapter six is the opening of the seals. Okay. And we get to, let's see. Yeah. Let's go look at 12, verse 12 of chapter 6. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Now, this sounds a lot like the same earthquake, except the difference here is, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" So even at that, they're still not repenting. They're just trying to find a place to hide. I've always felt that this was the same earthquake, that even on the sixth seal, it's already come to that point, and then it comes back, and we go back and look at these things in detail. But I mean, every mountain and island was moved out of its place. I mean, that sounds a lot like every island fled away and the mountains were not found. You know, it sounds like the same thing. And so that's one of the reasons why
That's just leveled.
leveled. Exactly. Well, that's what would happen. That's exactly what would happen.
Floor level,
If
wouldn't
the mountains were not found, you would have, you know, pretty much level. So, but just imagine you've got boils, you've got all the water, salt water and fresh water, turning to blood. You have scorching heat. You have darkness, at least for some period of time. You've still got pain from the boils. And then you have the Euphrates River dried up to make way for these great armies from the Orient, from the East, to come over. And of course, that's another question. You have all these armies gathering together, and it amazes me how that's possible, because they've got sores, they're hurting, there's the heat is scorching them. Apparently the darkness has lifted. But I mean, how do you get together a fighting unit when all this is happening? These are questions that I don't really have
any. All these armies seem to be fighting.
They're going to come together, I think.
Each other?
No. Well,
who are they fighting? Who do they think they're
Israel.
Fighting?
They're going to come together. I'm going to try to totally annihilate Israel.
Oh.
That's been Satan's goal all along here. He can't get to church. We're safe, but he's going after them. You remember when it said the great, it talks about the woman about to be with child and how she fled, and Satan basically went after them with a flood, and they were able to make it to safety. And so they're going to try to, wherever they are, whatever they've been supernaturally protected, they're going to try to apparently, you know, get them out of there, blow them up, whatever they have to do to annihilate them. But Daniel also talks about there's other skirmishes, though, with each other. There is some things going on, them fighting each other. But then at some point, they're going to look up and they're going to go, uh-oh. Because that's when Jesus is going to split the sky, you know, and that's when they're going to realize, oh, this is not good, you know. So it's really getting good. It's really getting good here. Now, in chapter 17, we're going to have one of those flashbacks. It's going to explain some things. The Scarlet Woman, Scarlet Beast, Mystery Babylon, the Fall of Babylon, and all that. And there's a lot of disagreement there of what's Mystery of Babylon. Is it the United States of America? Is it a European country? Is it Rome? Or is it really Babylon? You know, used to be they thought it must be United States, because at that time we were the ones that had all the influence of everybody. But there could be real Babylon. I mean, they could rise up and become a major power. It's just, it depends on when it happens, you know. We seem to be in decline right now. We may not be a world power here in a few years. It's hard to say. So it's, I don't know. It's a mystery. And to think you know for sure, I don't think anybody really does. So, okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this. And Lord, we're the first to admit, we just simply don't understand it all. But we know that you have given us enough information that we at least know basically what is going on. We still have questions, Lord, but it's important that we know the future about what's going on, so that when others ask us questions, when people who are troubled, who are being convicted by the Holy Spirit, people who are afraid of things they see going on in the world today, when they come to us and ask us questions, that we can take them to Scripture and show them these things, and perhaps in showing them these things, they might see the need to be saved. And we pray that we're able to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.